Hey, and thanks for listening. This is Conversations, the True Voice Media podcast. I'm your host, Jeff Gibbard. Let's get started. This is episode 12, and I am here with Adrian Hoppel. Adrian was recently featured in a Huffington Post article talking about a new way of doing, or I guess a new way of charging for, pricing for, and delivering services of web design, and it got me really intrigued. So I'm going to let Adrian take it away and just introduce himself and, give a brief primer. Adrian, thanks for being on the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Jeff. Good morning. So it's great to be on. I've been doing web design for about 14 years, and about 2 years ago, I started offering my services in what I call In the Gift, and basically saying for clients that I want to work with, I will build you a website as you need, and I will give it to you. And it's up to the client at that point to decide what, if anything, they want to gift back to me based on how well they like the finished product and working with me.
So for those people that are listening right now, I hope that they just sat back in their chair and said, what? Because, you know, the idea of being in a professional services business of any sort and doing your work without any request for payment, just as a gift for someone, is a really different idea. So for anybody out there, now's the time to keep listening, set aside whatever you had to do for the next, you know, half hour or so, and listen up, because Adrian has this really interesting concept, and I'm sure you have tons of questions out there as listeners about, you know, do you get ripped off and this and that, and we're going to go through all of that, and it's a really fascinating topic. So, Adrian, the first thing I want to put out there is the question that would be on everybody's mind. It's the first thing that comes up, and I know it was on your mind early on. You do the work to build somebody a beautiful website. You put in 20, 30, 40 hours into it. It's gorgeous. And they say, hey, thanks, sucker. And they leave.
That was exactly my fear. I had been doing websites in a very traditional model, in the model of here's my proposal and I require this amount deposit and here's the deadlines and so on. And when I first discovered this idea, and it's certainly not my idea, but when I first discovered it, my immediate thought was that's wonderful. That's fascinating. It would be amazing if that's how the world worked. I'm going to try it on a very small scale because I'm convinced people will do exactly what you just described and say, thanks for the website and take off. And nothing would happen that would benefit me at all. So what that fear was something that I had to overcome, but I overcame it very quickly just because people acted exactly the opposite.
That is shocking to me, and I don't know why. I guess it's because I believe the best in people, but at the same time, I'm aware that there is the worst of people out there. How long have you been doing this in the gift as your workplace model, as your pricing model?
I started in – it's funny you bring that up. I started in April of 2011, and I just had to re-register the domain name that I originally set up to launch this model. So it was right around now was when I came up with the idea that it might be an interesting thing to do. I registered the domain and I started building out a very simple website that explained, you know, how I imagined working in the gift would work for web design. And everything was ready to go in April and started working with a few clients and everything sort of snowballed from there.
So I mean, that's really impactful for me because, you know, I started True Voice Media in March of 2011. So essentially, you started your business on the gift 1 month after I started mine, and I'm charging like money, and you're saying I'm going to do this as a gift. And in the same time, we're both here. We're both still in business, and, you know, we're both now in a position where, people are starting to take more notice of us. You know, I've had some attention recently for a variety of things, but, you know, when we spoke very recently, you know, just this concept, because it's so unique, because it's so different, you've had a lot of attention about this recently.
I have. It's been a really remarkable couple of months for me. And when I started a few years ago, and I also think it's interesting that our timelines are mapped out the same here. It's never that the gift economy is, and we can explore this a little more, it's never that it's anti-money or it's anti-traditional business necessarily, as much as I read a book and a book was called Sacred Economics by Charles Eisenstein, and it sort of blew my mind. And I thought, well, if this is a way that I could work, it would be really fulfilling to me. And so when I started it as that experiment, and everything sort of took off, last year went from doing a couple websites a month to doing several a month. And at the end of the year, I actually had the opportunity to redesign the website for Charles Eisenstein. And for me, it was this incredible closing of the circle, if you will, as far as the person that turned me on to an idea that really changed the way I go about my work life to being able to offer the site back to him. He has a big audience, and when the site was ready, he wrote some very kind words about me. A couple of other people picked that up, and then before I knew it, in January and February, there's an article about me in Huffington Post. There's articles written about me in throughout Australia and Brazil. I'm on TV, live TV in Australia. I'm on the radio around the country here. NPR is having me on. All kinds of amazing things occur, and it all just sort of came from this release of the fear and accepting that, yeah, there are bad people out there, but there are more than enough good people who want to support what I'm doing.
So one of the things that I think is just so fascinating about your energy and enthusiasm about this, and I think it's worth just bringing up on the podcast because some people listening might, you know, this kind of a concept, it's very, you know, some people might look at it and be like, oh, of course, unicorns and rainbows, and we'll all just give each other presents of professional work. But it's worth underscoring, like, you're married and have two kids, and you thought about this, and you had experiences that led you to believe that I'm going to do this and it's probably going to fail, and then it hasn't. So I think it's worth underscoring that, you know, you didn't come to this decision lightly. You know, tell me some of the, you know, for everybody listening, tell us about what led you here in your career before this, because if you started this in 2011, there was something prior to this. You weren't always doing the gift. You weren't always, you know, what led you to this that made you say, you know what, I'm just going to try this.
Sure. And it's actually four kids, which I think
Oh my God. The points, even more. Double.
So it was kind of a big jump. And for me, it had been 14 years of working in different corporate traditional corporate course for work. I started out working for a telecom out in Seattle. I was very successful there. Most of my career was based in sales and marketing. For the telecom that I worked for, I ended up being VP of business development. So a lot of travel, a lot of around the country, turned into a lot of around the globe, working on different sort of complex telecom deals. Really a lot of fun. I had a nice team there. You know, I had probably at one point 40 different reports to me, and it was really, you know, seemed like everything was rolling along. According to the American dream, went from that to another career and kept moving up the ladder, bought houses, cars, big vacations. Everything's kind of by every standard that we're taught since we're kids, everything is screaming success. But I really was getting less and less happy with everything. I myself, although I was effective in the suit and the short hair and going to C-level meetings and doing all of that, it wasn't really what I liked to do at all. And I would often come home and I have this need to be creative and this need to build, and websites was sort of my outlet. It started as a hobby around 2001. I started messing around on Microsoft front page, and the telecom that I worked for, funny story to me at least, we were working with a web developer for a microsite, and the web developer was taking so long to put things together and it was so flaky, and so many of my experiences with web designers were so difficult to meet deadlines that I started putting something together on front page myself. I put it together in a couple of days. I showed it to the CEO. He said, "This is brilliant. This is just what we want. We'll just use this and cancel the other contract." And all of a sudden, my website was now on the front page, and we're getting thousands of visitors a day using it. And I found that so compelling that I could create and write something, even if it was code, that people were reading and using and coming to, that I started doing more and more on the side. And as that started growing, my positions in the corporate world were getting less and less satisfying to me, to the point where in some of my last positions, a lot of the drive, a lot of the motivation for work every day was based very much on, for my opinion, very obscene margin levels, very obscene profit levels. There was a huge lack of transparency. We were an organization that had some very unique product offerings that allowed us to really dictate the relationship with clients. And in my opinion, we really took advantage of that. And it was hard for me on a daily basis to keep going. And so when that eventually fizzled out, my wife was very much of the mindset of this career path that you've been on is not only not satisfying to you, but you're sort of struggling with it every day. You should pursue something else. And so I thought, well, what I like to do is work on the computer. I like working on the web. I like working in social media. I really love design. I'd love to get better at that and be able to offer that as a service. So that sort of took off. And then I read the book and decided there's, you know, a million freelance web designers out there. And there's a thought of, well, if I can start something in the gift, that's at least, if nothing else, a way to differentiate myself from everybody else out there offering freelance web services. So maybe that will help me stand out a little bit. And that's pretty much exactly what happened.
That's really interesting. So it wasn't just, you know, the motivation wasn't just, you know, this will be good for the world, the gift economy and unicorns and rainbows. It was also, you know what, there's a lot of people out there and this might be a way for me to get some attention and differentiate. You know, also knowing full well in the back of your mind, you're thinking this could also flop miserably. So it was a strategic decision, not just a you know, what'll make you feel good decision.
Right. And I really don't want to discount that part of it either. And that's why I mentioned earlier, it's not about being anti-money or anti-business. It's a way that spoke to me as a more whole relationship. When I'm working in the traditional model, it was a sense of I'm going to write a proposal for you that's going to do as little work as I possibly have to do for as much money as I can charge. And you as the client are going to negotiate back to me to get as much work from me with as little as you want to pay. So there's sort of an adversarial aspect to the relationship right off the bat. And that was really what was starting to drag me down is I didn't want the focus to just be on both of us trying to take advantage of the other person as much as we could. Working in the gift allows me to say, listen, I will build you whatever you want. There's no problem with scope creep. There's no problem with you adding additional things into the project once we get going. I will build you whatever you need to the best of my ability. And when I'm finished, I'll give it to you completely. And you can decide at that point what you want to gift back to me. So what happens to the relationship is it goes from being adversarial to one where we're just working in a realm of trust, where you're trusting me to take care of your project, and I'm trusting you to support me from there. So that aspect of it was what was appealing to me. But I also, as you said, I have four kids. I have a family. We have life that goes on. So trying to exist in sort of the traditional world, in what people consider the gift economy to be sort of a new story or a new type of economy, was a challenge. And I have bills to pay. As much as I love working in the gift, Comcast doesn't take payment in the gift. You know, my Verizon cell phone doesn't take payment in the gift. I have to put gasoline in the car. I'm not able to just sort of, you know, ride my horse to the next hut in the village. It's 2014 and there's needs and drives for that. So my hope was that, yeah, it would help me stand out a little bit. But if it could work, if I could build a sustainable business that allowed me to exist in this world, but do it in a way that I felt more whole about, that would be ideal.
I have so many questions, but I want to start here. Tell me about some of the things that you find that are challenges in the gift economy, because this can't just be like, you know, the promised land. You just walk towards the light and accept gifts and give gifts. Like, what are some of the things that really make it challenging?
I think right off the bat, the first challenge for me was really letting go of the fear and accepting the faith that everything will just work out, even if I don't exactly know how it's going to work out. When you're doing three or four projects at once and each one is 30 to 50 hours of work and you're working without a net, there's no guarantee that you're ever going to be compensated in any way for any of your work or that anybody's going to gift you back anything at all. So there are definitely moments, especially when I was starting out, where where that fear is palpable, where you're really feeling like, I don't know what I'm doing. This is insane. I've just spent 6 weeks on all this work, and I don't know if anybody's going to do anything back to me as a gift at all. So getting over that fear and just letting go and saying, I'm just going to do the work, and it's going to work out. It was probably the biggest challenge. Another huge challenge is from a traditional economy standpoint is working without any type of real balance sheet or any type of profit or loss or any type of real business projection tools, where I really can't tell you what May is going to look like for me, or June or July. There's no idea of recurring revenue, if you will. There's no way to really map out how everything's going to go. So for 15 years or so of living in that sort of world, to just saying, I'm just going to put on my blinders, write some code, put some websites out there, and you know, things are going to come in as they come in, and it's all going to work out. Again, I guess it comes back to the same type of faith issue, but that's a huge challenge, and that's an ongoing challenge where as we grow and I look at, you know, maybe renting some office space or hiring some people to help, how do you manage that when you can't project incomes down the road? How do I make a commitment to sign a lease to say, this office space is great, I'd like to sign for the next 3 years, when I'm not even certain what 3 months from now is going to look like?
Wow. Yeah, that's definitely an interesting challenge. One of the things that, you know, I immediately started thinking about when you mentioned scope creep and things like that, and, you know, kind of the point at which somebody pays you back for your work, you said, you know, when it's done, you hand it over. What ran through my head is, when you have those clients that maybe want recurring work or want you to keep working on this or that, or kind of just have you be their web person, there's no point at which it's done. It's kind of ongoing. So when is the gift, I guess, due? You know what I mean? Which is kind [S2] Sure. [S1] Of an odd concept to say, like, your gift is due now. But, like, do you have to send invoices when it reaches a certain number of hours to people that just says, hey, I've put in this many hours, just so you know, this is I'm done until? Or how do you handle that where, you know, somebody might just want to keep working with you? How do you deal with that part where it's not over, but, you know, you need money
or you [S2] Absolutely. [S1] Need whatever? Well, I mean, right off the bat, I'm a firm believer that no website is ever finished. You get to a point where you're happy with it, and then you continue to tweak it and evolve and grow. And even ideas that seem great right now might not seem great 6 or 7 months down the road. So I try and keep everything with my clients very project focused. And when I'm getting off the ground with a new client and a new project, I put a lot of work into a very detailed proposal, and the proposal lists out everything that the client has shared with me that they need and everything that I'm prepared to do for them. I break down how many hours I believe each task is going to take me, because hours are very easy for people to connect with. The gift economy is very new to people. Web design is very alien to a lot of people, so finding the common ground is important. Hours works very well. So I can say to somebody, okay, this is 40 hours of work, and most people have their own personal understanding of what 40 hours of work means to them. So that translates well. I include with that a sort of a rough range of what a traditional freelance web designer might charge per hour for this type of work. Nothing in that description is binding in any way. It's not a contract, but again, people are grateful for some sort of reference as to, what does a website cost? How much time does it take? How do I value this? If I want to gift you back, how do I know what to gift you, or what idea can I have to frame the gift back to you? So I offer that. And then when I'm finished the work, I send over, it's not really an invoice per se, but I keep track of every hour that I end up working on the project. So if I said it was going to be 40 hours and it ended up being 43 or 37, I send that in an invoice type form to the client at the end, and then that's what sort of guides them as far as what, if anything, they want to gift back to me. There are some clients that have said, listen, this is not my expertise, and I really need your help on an ongoing basis. I'm always available for clients if they need help with the work that I've done. If it's new work that they want done, then I just sort of start the project all over again with a new proposal and a new estimate for time. And then in addition to that, I have some clients currently who are like, well, I just want you sort of I guess you would say in a traditional world, I want you on retainer. So what if we gift you this amount of money a month and you're just available for us for X number of hours a month? And if we don't need you, that's great. And if we need you for more, you're flexible on that end. And we want you to help us maintain the website and coach us in blogging and do things like that. So I guess what I have found at the end is, as much as I love working in the gift, I have to be very flexible for how other people want to work. And if an organization really wants that comfort of having a web designer that's available on call for them, I want to meet them there. If an organization says, listen, I love what you're doing, but we have a bursar's office and we need to submit a purchase order and we need to follow this procedure, I want to meet them there. So I don't want to limit anybody from doing business with me because I want to work in the gift model. I just try and frame everything so that it fits my vision of the gift model as well.
Yeah. I mean, when I read the article about you and I first heard about the gift economy, you know, before we sat down and, you know, got to know each other and chat and everything, you know, I really thought at the beginning of the article when I heard about the gift economy, I thought it was the sort of thing where you would do a website and people would exchange and barter with you in forms other than money. And I know that, you know, some of the projects you've done, there have been other gifts besides money or part money, part this, which I want to talk about in a second. But I just was under the assumption initially that it was more of a barter economy, more of a, you know, secondary thing where it wasn't about money. So it was interesting to find out that it was about money. But to kind of play off of that, can you tell us a little bit about some of the most interesting exchanges you've had? Because I'm thinking, you know, maybe if you do these little projects here and there for people, they're going to give you, you know, maybe like a bottle of scotch or this or that. And if you do a big project, they might give you part money and part something else. Tell me a little bit about, you know, the overall what it looks like in the exchange when it's not money.
Sure. And those are all great points. The difference right off the bat from what I'm doing in a barter system is really in the initial establishment of the relationship. In a barter system, it's more along the lines of, I will give you X if you give me Z. And there's this tangible agreement that's in place before any work is done. Where in a gift economy, it's totally different in saying, I will just give you X and give it to you. And then if you want to give me Z or Y or M or whatever makes sense to you, you can do that if you want. So that changes things initially. For most people, this is a totally new idea. And most people are most comfortable gifting me back with money. I am totally wide open for whatever makes sense to people. But again, I'm careful not to turn people off who just really want a website and enjoy the idea of working in a new way, but don't really have the capacity to think of how to gift me back in any way outside of money. So that ends up being the majority of people, and that's fine. Because for me, money is just a way to measure value. It's not an evil thing in and of itself. But other people have come back and said exactly as you described. I know you like scotch. Here's a couple of really great bottles that we picked out. Or I was able to take two of my daughters up to New York City this past weekend and take them to a Broadway show on a trip that was totally gifted to me from a client, including the bus ride up and lunch and catered dinner on the bus ride back and amazing seats to go see Wicked. And we ran around New York City for the day and, you know, had just an amazing day with my daughters that I wouldn't have done. Even if that client had gifted me in money, I wouldn't have spent it, you know, doing a trip like that per se. But in the gift, it sort of is like, well, this is a really wonderful thing. I'm going to take advantage of this opportunity. So it has caused me to be very opportunistic. And people have said, well, what if can we offer your children space in our soccer camp? Sure, they'd love that. What about some opportunity for you and your wife to come to our restaurant with some gift cards? Sure, we love to go out and eat. Anything that makes sense to the client, I try and be very open toward.
That is so cool because it's not just a gift of a thing necessarily, but also by changing the way that you've accepted payment to accept things beyond just money, you're also being gifted new experiences that you might not have otherwise had. It kind of opens you up to this kind of randomness that that you can't get in another way except when you have somebody else who's providing that. In the same way that, you know, you might get things as a gift, you know, at family holidays or things from people that you might not have considered getting, but then you are opened up to something new and basing new experiences off of the experiences of others. That's actually a really interesting point about the gift economy.
It really is. And I look at this past weekend as a great example, because I'm standing there with my daughters on the roof of the Rockefeller Center, looking on the observation floor, looking around New York City from the Statue of Liberty to the Brooklyn Bridge, and the sun is out, and it's just this amazing, surreal moment that there's no doubt in my mind would never have happened if it wasn't for this gift relationship. And I believe in my heart too that it's a moment that they're never going to forget. It was a perfect day, and I'm very grateful for the opportunity to have that kind of day with my kids.
That's really cool. That's really cool. Tell me this. You've been in the gift economy now since 2011, and you like it and you enjoy it. What would you say to somebody who's either thinking about getting involved in the gift economy or people who would dismiss it? What sort of advice would you – should people be more involved in the gift economy? Obviously, you believe in it, but you know, what are some of the things that you should look out for, either as signals that this is right for you or it's not right for you?
I think ideally we would all exist in this kind of economy where, as you said, rainbows and unicorns, where you're saying, here's my gift to the community, and the community will support me back in all the ways that I need to be supported. In my mind, sure, that's an ideal relationship. But the reality is that there's a person named Ian McKenzie who had a great line about this, and he said the reality is we're sort of stuck in the middle right now between, you know, there's a lot of people moving toward this new kind of economy, this new sharing type of economy, and it's picking up steam every day. And it's not a day goes by that I don't find some reference to some new idea that's moving things into a sharing economy. So there's a lot of people moving that way, but also, like we discussed earlier, there are bills to be paid. There are internet access. There's things I need to do my work. There's a new computer. There's software. There's hosting fees. There's all of these old story requirements that I need to meet. So how do you exist in the middle and sort of keep driving towards this new place and be able to take care of business in the old world or the old story is a challenge. And I've had a lot of people who have approached me with this sort of recent publicity and said, I want to do what you're doing. And I think that's great. But I also temper everything with, it's not easy. And there's a lot of learning curve for me. There's a lot of learning curve as far as how I would present the gift economy to people and how I'd offer it. And coming up with that whole model of the proposal and the time invoice took me a lot of trial and error to figure out, okay, for people who want a website, this is an effective way to do it in the gift because it makes sense to them. So my biggest piece of advice to people is to go slowly and to try it out. If you have a business where you're providing services or products to people and there's a way you can think that you can offer it in the gift, float it on a couple projects, float it on a couple clients and see how it works. Panera Bread right now has a couple dozen stores around the U.S. that are offering their products completely in the gift, where you can walk in, order what you want, and then pay what you want when you leave. Their CEO is a huge fan of it. But he didn't just flip the switch and say, tomorrow, all Panera Bread is working in the gift. It's something that he would love to grow to that. But at the same time, he has employees and bills and suppliers that he needs to take care of. So he's trying to manage it the same way I would advise anybody else to manage it and say, you know, start slowly. When I launched this 2 years ago, I was doing a dozen websites a year or so in a traditional world. And I thought, well, if I can do one or two a year in the gift, that'll be cool. And probably half of the ones I do will rip me off, but it'll be all right. And it's totally flip-flopped where now I'm exclusively in the gift. I'm doing dozens and dozens of projects a year. But I would not advise somebody to just jump off the ledge and do that, you know, from day one.
Gotcha. So even when you started in it, you know, it wasn't like an all or nothing sort of thing. You kind of started out slowly, made your mistakes, learned along the way.
Absolutely. And I didn't tell anybody about it because I was sure I would be flocked with these requests for work that would be just kind of a use of my time. I talked to some friends. I had a few, I would say, champions. I had three people in general who said, I love this idea of what you're doing. I'm going to find my organization that I work with needs work, and I'm going to bring them to you. Or I have a friend whose organization needs work, and I'm going to bring them to you because I love what you're doing. And these three people got me, you know, two or three projects each. And from there, the word of mouth, as you can imagine, spread, because when it's a successful gift economy relationship, people are then telling their friends, hey, you should call this guy Adrian Hoppel. Not only will he build you the website as you need it, you don't have to give him a deposit. You can if you want to, but it's all transparent. The entire process is transparent. The total relationship is different than any other experience you've had. So that word of mouth sort of exploded, and that's where it went from you know, just a couple projects all on the side to everything I'm doing. I had a whole business plan that I worked out of, you know, different vertical markets I was going to target and different organizations I was going to go approach and describe what I'm doing and how I was going to grow this kind of organically, but with a plan. And I've never instituted one aspect of the plan because everything is just sort of taken off on its own and become its own animal. And I'm just trying to ride it now.
So your sales strategy right now is field incoming opportunities.
Exactly. And do them as best as I can and expect that more than half of them will refer me to somebody else. And if I keep treating everybody as fairly as I can, people will keep sharing me with their friends and family and it will just grow from there.
Yeah, I'd imagine that the amount of trust that you're trafficking in goes a really long way with, you know, a completely unique business model to what most people are used to, a different type of business relationship where, you know, at the end when you're, like you had said at the beginning, you have that lack of adversarial relationship. You just kind of do the work and you are providing them with a gift. I'd imagine that trust is pretty much the engine that drives what you're doing.
It absolutely is. And fair or unfair, web design is definitely one of those areas that people tend to distrust. They don't understand. They're presented with proposals and a lot of mysterious words that don't make sense to them because their organization's focus, their core competencies are in areas that are not technology-based or not web design-based. So they get a proposal back with numbers attached to it, and they're like, well, I guess so. I guess this makes sense. I got three proposals, and they're all around the same amount of money, so I guess that's what they cost, and I'll just send this person a deposit because there's some referrals. But people have been taken advantage that way, and people are distrustful of a process today that they don't understand. So by sort of flipping it on its end the way that I have, I'm saying, well, there's no reason for you not to trust because you don't have to put anything in risk at all until the project's done. And even then you don't have to because I'm going to give it to you anyway. And once people realize that, it changes the relationship to one where there's almost a concept of reciprocity where people are saying, wow, you've done all this work for me. I've trusted you and you've delivered and it's amazing and you've just given it to me. I can't possibly not do something to gift you back because it feels totally out of balance if I don't.
Yeah, it's so interesting. I just keep thinking of, you know, it's just awesome that you've been doing this as long as you have and that people haven't let you down because I think that there's such a general malaise about business out there that like everybody's out to screw everybody. Nobody does good work anymore. There's like this just general like skepticism about people doing good work or people being fair. And you know, you've jumped out into this thing and said, you know what, I'm just going to do work because I love it and I'm going to give it to you and I hope that you'll do the right thing. And then people haven't let you down. And I think that that's a really, it's just an uplifting story in business that you don't hear too much of.
Thanks, Jeff. I modestly, but I feel the same way. In every transaction that occurs and every time that I complete a project for somebody and there's a gift back to me in return, it's totally inspiring even to me to say, wow, here's another example. Here's another quote unquote transaction that has occurred that is completely outside of the traditional model, and it's worked. The client is in love with their site. I'm able to keep driving along and take care of my family and you know, keep the lights on and everything else and have awesome experiences when that occurs. And every time that happens, it's totally inspiring to me too.
That's so awesome. All right, Adrian, I think we should wrap up. And what I'd like to do as just our final send-off, I'd like for you to tell anybody listening, who's your ideal client? What do they look like? So that if they're listening and they are that person and they need web development, they know that they're the right person to be working with you. And then also, please give everybody the list of places where they can go and be social with you and find you. Just the list of places I'll put in the show notes for people to connect with you.
Sure thing. I think my ideal client is somebody who is really in need of a website and may not have any experience in going through the project or may have had a bad experience in the past. I'm not going to claim that I'm the most gifted and talented web designer that ever walked on the planet, but I have the ability to really help you get a good, solid website that meets all the current best practices and get you kind of off the ground. So for a small organization or a small business owner or a nonprofit, I work with these organizations a lot. I've worked with universities and larger organizations too. And those are, in those cases, people are just sort of happy to experiment in a new type of model. But there's not many people that I have not been able to help because of my skill set. So if getting a website is something that you've realized you need to do, I'd love to talk to you about it. My website is adrianhoppel.com, A-D-R-I-A-N-H-O-P-P-E-L, and there's contact forms on there. I'm also extremely active on Facebook, somewhat active on Twitter, a little less active on LinkedIn, but I live in all those places as well. So if any of those are areas where you like to meet, I'd love to meet you there too.
That is awesome. Well, Adrian, this has been a gift. I thank you for coming on. By the way, I like how you slid in that gifted web developer pun. That's excellent. So thank you sincerely for coming on. I think what you're doing is so interesting, and I'm really happy we got a chance to talk about it. I hope everybody out there listening, you know, had their eyes opened and can think about things in a new way that, you know, just because something's the status quo doesn't mean that it's the only way to do things. So thanks for coming on and sharing that experience.
Thanks. Thanks for having me, Jeff. I really appreciate it.
Excellent. So for everybody out there listening, please do us a favor. We just gifted you this, and just a recommended gift you can give us back is to go on iTunes and drop us a rating. Leave some comments on this episode. Tell us how much you loved it or hated it or whatever. And just generally speak well of us if you think that's a good gift in return. Everyone out there, have a great rest of the day. Take care. Thanks again for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed that episode of Conversations. Be sure to go over to iTunes or Stitcher and give us a rating. Tell us what you love about the show, what you hate about the show. And we hope you come back for our next episode. Take care.